Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, sweet spirit, fall on me. If you let the anointing saturate you tonight from your head down to your feet, to the point that the devil can't touch. I'm going to sing this song first, and I want you to join in with me tonight. And let this be your prayer. Oh, let your anointing, you that are home, let your anointing saturate you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hey, God bless
yes.
you.
Yes. God bless you. You guys got technical difficulties?
Yes. Well, you know when y'all prosthetic mantle, y'all know how that go.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The only time it act up was when we had the Marketplace Prophets on, and now you. So.
I've been hanging out here listening. I said I'm gonna hang on because I know you know what the deal is, so we ain't giving up the fight.
Well, my armor bearer said it's going to be an awesome release tonight, an awesome empowerment for the people of God. So, you know, we just hanging in there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Is Papa Marcus, is he there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, sir.
Hey, God bless you. Hey, how you doing?
Very, very well, sir. How about yourself?
Very good. I think I've been here like 2 minutes before nine, so I'm here.
You've been hanging out too, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes. Hey, God.
So, who is this, Minister?
Your Minister Arthur Weathersby, yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. I'm about to say, okay, you running the show tonight?
No, sir. I was surprised when I went live and nobody didn't speak to me. I said, live? I think that's why I said something wrong.
Yeah, I checked a few times to make sure I had the right call. I said, well, let me make sure I had the right shit somewhere. I was like, wait a minute. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure myself. I'm like, okay, let me make sure.
Hey, man, y'all just hold on. Hold on for a second. Let me check something out. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me
make sure. All right, sir.
Hold on.
But, I mean, I'm not too surprised. Stuff like this has been happening more lately. Before, you know, as I get close to the ordination, I'm telling you, apostolic warfare is not surprising me now. It's like, okay, I understand why this is happening. So
yes,
I'll be more patient.
But that's what it is. And you know, you have the assurance. That's what I know. And when things like this is happening, it's just a clear sign and affirmation of what God is doing. And already done,
absolutely.
To be honest.
Exactly.
But he's already
exactly.
done, so.
Already.
You know, he's just trying to get you distracted and get you to lose the focus.
Yeah.
But amen. We thank y'all for bearing with us during this technical difficulties, amen. You are now tuning into the mantle of God behind the scenes, amen. Amen. I'm your host, Minister Faith Walker. We have our very own Minister Arthur Weathersby, amen. And we also have the prophet of God with us, Marco Dupree. Are you still there?
Amen. Still here.
Amen.
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 Those of y'all who knows about the mantle of this awesome man of God, y'all know this ain't no coincidence what's going on. Stuff has been going haywire. So I'm allowed a man of God just to, come against these forces right now, amen, because this is his territory. This is what he do. So I'm going to just get out the way, and I'm going to let this man of God go ahead, amen, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, once again, we thank God for what he's about to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your anointing. Your presence is here right now. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your divine connection tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, even in the midst of adversity, you are King. You are the Lord of Kings, King of Lords. And we thank you right now that even in the midst of the trials and tribulation, Lord, that you have never moved off the throne. So, Father, we thank you right now that we do not be moved by this situation or anything, any attack that may try to come. But if anything, we look at it as a confirmation to what you've already done and what you've already put into motion right now, even as we speak in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the power of God that's in operation, even as we speak right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for each and every one that's on staff tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for I speak peace.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, glory to God. I speak peace to the atmosphere now. In the name of Jesus, God, command all chaos to cease now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for commanding, as we command the atmosphere to begin to change. We thank you for the release of the anointing right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We want to turn to your Bible. Amen. Glory to God. Well, amen. Amen. Let's double check.
Amen. Y'all welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. The number to call in to talk to Prophet Marcus Dupree is 347-945-5416. We're going to be talking to this man of God concerning his mantle, being our prophet, amen, and also coming up for, I believe he's apostolic or He's an apostle right now. He's about to be ordained apostle part himself. Amen. Talk to this man of God. And 347-945-5416. You can press 1 to get in. And if you want to ask concerning his mantle, his mission, his assignment, his mandate, praise God. And he represents Eagle Wings Ministry in Ridgeland, South Carolina.
Yes.
Amen. Ridgeville, South Carolina. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking with the man of God. But man of God, are you with us?
Amen. I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Amen.
Ready.
So
Amen.
When did you know, and we're joined by EMG's very own Minister Arthur Weathersby. Amen. You still with us, man of God?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And
Amen.
I just we're basically just going to be asking questions concerning the man of God's mantle tonight. Amen. I see God in his providence just see fit for you to be here. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank God for that. So we're just going to ask the man of God concerning his mantle on tonight. Amen. So man of God, when did you know you was called by God as a mouthpiece of the Lord?
I got saved in 95, and I would have to say probably 97, 98 is when I had experience that really kind of awakened me to his presence, you know, that's when I knew something greater than just being a believer was happening. I was invited to come to a youth celebration at Amy Church, and the pastor invited me. There was another young man who was in the pulpit. He met him. We were next to a neighbor. He asked me to come on up, you know, with him in the pulpit. I was like, really? Okay, all right, you know. So going up there, and he asked me, do you like to say a few words? I was like, really? Okay, all right. So I said a few words. But something happened when I began to say a few words. It was something that happened that I was never the same from that point. I had experienced. It was a power of the Holy Ghost that I never felt and experienced before. And I knew something had changed or something had awakened in me. And not long after that, I started having the different dreams, the different things. And I just knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was called to do the work of the Lord. And you know, of course, you have a knowing, but there's nothing like confirmation. I had what's his name? Denise Matthews. You remember her from The Last Dragon? Yeah, Vanny, exactly. We went to see her, and she actually was at our church in Charleston, South Carolina, and we went there to visit and see. And she laid hands on me. She said, prophet of God. And, you know, I knew that it was something happening already because of the way he was directing, he was leading me into different experiences he was giving me. And when she confirmed that, and there's some other ones, of course, my pastor, the other ones confirmed it after that, I definitely knew that I was in the right direction. So it was an experience like that happened, you know, some all experiences may be different, but it all leads to the same point. When you are called, you're chosen. You know, when you're called, you go from being called to being chosen because you have to go through that process to become. Amen. So I thank God for that today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So have God allowed you to birth any prophets out as far as your own school of the prophets? Amen. Has he allowed you to birth out a prophet yet, or he still has you walking?
Amen. Well, you know, it's funny. He's, with the ministry right now, we have some prophets that are connected, some that are in the early stages of, you know, discovering who they are, and some just need that mentorship just to help be sculpted and directed in a way. So he has that process going on right now. Of course, I have my own 9-year-old, my daughter. She's actually... And she tell you, she know who she is right now. She tell you she's a prophet. She's a prophetess. Amen. And she understands that. And of course, the Lord told me, he said, now I won't have you go all around the world and minister to everyone else's child. You will start with your own. So amen. So there's one always in the making at home that he always reminds me. Make sure you sow seed here. And you know, so praise God. We've seen that transformation happen in her right now. So, amen. So, he's having me in the process of doing that right now. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And on 347-945-5416, amen, the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, amen, on EMG, on the Spot Nathan Program, and amen. I am joined with the Empowerment amen, guest of the evening, amen, Prophet Marcus Dupree of Eagle Wings Ministry out there in Ridgeville, South Carolina, amen. And I'm also joined, who's co-host with me this evening, amen, Minister Arthur Weathersby, amen, who has his own show with Pastor Sherry, the Lord, except the Lord builds the house, amen, on Saturday at 9 o'clock on EMG.
Amen.
The radio, amen. So, you know, definitely check him out concerning kingdom marriage, amen, in Jesus' name. But we want to, we're talking with Prophet Marcus, amen, right now. And I got a question for you, man of God. We ask, you know, we ask the tough questions as well, too. And, but I know it's no problem for you. We know in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, many believers believe and have stated that said, okay, the Lord has said he's going to give some apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. And they said, will God allow you as a prophet to walk for a very short time in that mantle and then call you to set the order in the body of Christ, in the apostolic? Can you explain that, please?
Well, so you're saying, you asked me if God will call you in one area, then he will raise you up to another area and use you that to operate in that office? That's what you're asking me?
Well, I'm basically asking you, and this is just asking a question, from Prophet, because I know that you're going, you're an apostle now.
Yeah, I'll be confirmed officially in next month. Matter of fact, about a month and a day from now.
Okay, congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
you. In order for that. Okay, first of all, congratulations. I'm not a hater. I'm a congratulator. But I have to ask the questions. but I have to ask the questions. You know, that the listeners, and myself included, wants to be addressed. How, explain to our listeners, how do God have you walking through the prophetic as a prophet in that mantle from maybe a couple of seasons or maybe one season through the providence of God and then call you higher to the apostolic to set the order in the body of Christ?
Okay, that's very good. That's a very good question. Well, first of all, I'd like to say this. Man rewards man for achievements. God rewards man for faithfulness. And whatever God calls you to do, when you're faithful to do it, that causes you to be promoted in the kingdom faster, first of all. And it's God who does the promoting, because God takes one out of place and he puts another. As we were reminded of King Saul and David, you know. King Saul quickly came to the kingdom to be king, kingship. But because of disobedience, it caused him to get output too as well. That you know, far as, and then we saw where David was anointed as king, the anointing came upon David, and at that same moment, the anointing left King Saul to go upon King David. That's why King Saul was being tormented by spirits. Now, back to what you were saying, and what happened is, see, even though I may have been affirmed or ordained a prophet, you know, a year or so ago, but that's not the whole story. I've been walking in this office for some years, and really when it comes down to it, it's not the title that makes the man, but the man that makes title, in the sense of when you get ordained or get confirmed or affirmed as whoever, you know, God's called you to be, you should have already been walking in that office. Now you have the license to fully operate and do what God's called you to do. You don't just wait for a title, then start to work. And being that said, God had already walked me in this pathway for a while and through some different changes and different detours but some challenges came along the way that tried to get me or try to hold me, I guess delay me, but couldn't deny me, I should say. And now, and God is the redeemer of time, even though now I'm officially walking in, flowing in, and of course he's watching what I'm doing now in this office, because what I do now is going to be what I do later at a greater level. So as I'm walking forward, And as he's preparing me for the next level, the anointing is increasing, changing, and everything's happening. But God is also the redeemer of time. Because I lost 7.5 years of time. I was in another ministry. I went through some different trials and tribulations. I was basically kind of held back. And it's like, you know, I endured that time. Now, most some people probably left after a year or two. But I endured because I just didn't want to miss God. And, you know, once God began to speak clearly and really give me direction, okay, it's time to go. So even though I look on my clock and I see I lost the 7.5 years based on what I see, but God said no. Time didn't make God. God made time. So time does not have a bearing on what God wants to do in a sense of. That's why he's the redeemer of the time. And so even though, so when I started moving forward, he began to fast forward. And so even though, and of course, along with, as he began to progress you faster, of course, everything you have to go through, see, it all comes down to a process. And because when you're going through this process, now because they've sped up, now you're going through the process faster. That means you go through trials and tribulations faster. Some first you may experience faster. Everything happens at a faster pace, but at the same time, as long as I'm walking with God, he's walking with me, I will be all right. Amen. So that's why he began to set the order and also at the same time awaken or stir up, activate some things within me. So now as I come to this point now, I'm seeing where the mandate upon my life is changing, where I walk as prophet still in that office, but at the same time, I can tell greatly the apostolic is really kicking in. Oh, man, it's amazing. I mean, different times as I'm ministering, I'm really feeling the power of God on a different level. It's like, this is not prophetic, you know, power to feel here, but I know it's a change. So he's the one who gives me the authority to operate and flow in that manner. Amen.
Okay, amen. You know, and then we talk in amen. On the mantle of God, amen, we you know, in EMG, we spirit-led company, amen, our final authority is the word of God. That's how we roll. And we respect your mantle. All day, every day, even we understand you had the all-night prayer service, amen. We even received reports about that. We was on live in there, and a lot of people said they were definitely blessed by what the Lord did through your ministry. So we definitely thank the Lord for what he did on that all-night service, amen. It was, from what I understand, for the representatives who was on there, that God did move. And so we definitely thank God for your ministry on that afternoon, amen.
Yes, amen. Praise God.
Now we're talking about the apostolic. Since we go there, and I don't have no script or nothing. I don't have no script, so we just flowing. Since we in the apostolic, we're going to flow there. Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, Apostle Paul, we know that he was a Pharisee. He said he was a Pharisee. He had a zeal above those who was his age. He sat at the feet of God's meal. Amen. And Ananias, who was a disciple, had no titles, but lay hands on one who had the calling of an apostle.
Yes.
Amen. So Paul was a Pharisee, but he wasn't walking. Would you say he was walking in the apostolic when he was a Pharisee, or maybe the gift was in him and he just ain't tap into it? Maybe it need to be stirred up by Ananias. But how will we explain that to our listeners who may be babes in Christ and they're saying, okay, prophet, I hear you. I respect your mantle, but break it down to me so that I may understand. When I see what Paul going through and then I hear what you're telling me, by the revelation, by the anointing of God, can you just break the atom down so that I can eat with you?
Okay, perfect example. Okay, as you know, there were some who walked as disciples of Christ. A disciple is one who was taught and who are a student. Okay, well, Paul didn't walk as a student per se with Jesus as Peter did. So their testimony and pathways were different, even though they ended up in the same place. Even as we see here with Peter, Peter experienced a lot with God, and you know, as far as Jesus and just doing a lot of different things. He went through, you can say, almost went through step by step, you could say. But then on the hand, Paul, did you notice when Paul was knocked off the horse because of the glory of the Lord, and he said, Paul, why thou persecutest me? And he said, well, before he asked, he said, Lord, he said, yes, Lord. Paul identified who it was that he saw before he even saw.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he identified Lord. That lets me know that there was a dealing that God was doing with him before that divine appointment even happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was happening in his secret closet, what was happening, with one-on-one with God, he only knows. But at the same time, it goes back to the point of God is the one who does what he do. He has the power to pick certain ones through certain things and then use them to do another. Or, for instance, in this case, he took Peter through one pathway, but then he took Paul to a different way. And it still went well, and then you talk about, well, what's the fruit of it? Well, the fruit is two-thirds of the New Testament written by Paul. And even St. Paul held Peter in check with some different things or something that happened. So you see where, even though they had the different experiences, their pathway was different. God, he is the one who orchestrated that. So God is the one that, especially depends on who you are, he knows exactly. You see, what this calling just didn't begin like yesterday. No, before you were ever forming your mother's womb, he already laid this thing out. Only thing we had to do was adhere to the plan and walk it out. So God already had that thing laid out before it actually manifested. So he decided how he was going to take the pathway, to take Paul on his pathway. It's going to be different from Peter, even though they're both apostles. But the fact of the matter, he decided how the pathway was going to go. And like I said, Paul had a different experience, different from a lot of the rest of them. He didn't go like the regular other apostles and disciples. But it was validated, amen, by the word of God.
Minister Arthur Wesby, you have a question,
sir,
for the minister? Huh?
No, I was just listening to what he was saying, and it made a lot of sense because what Saul did, how Saul the process God go through. When God calls us to something, he already equips and prepares us for the work that needs to be done. And the
Amen.
Zeal that Saul had as a persecutor of the church, God used
mm-hmm.
that same thing
God
for him
glory.
To be a zealot for the church.
Yes.
So that was the evidence of the calling that was already on his life, and God, and we all have it. And I agree. I have similar experience with what Prophet Marcus said about how he got called. My father in the ministry told me I knew what I was called to preach in 1998. I didn't do my initial sermon until 2001, but before then, from before I did my initial sermon, my father in the ministry used to say I was bootlegging, preaching without a license.
Amen.
So you were walking. I was walking in it, but I wasn't. As we go through the process, and it depends on what type of a church and or denomination or association that you're with. You know, they have you do what they call, which I don't agree. I did not let my pastor at that time try to tell me that I was doing a trial summit. If it was an initial, if God called me, what am I on trial for? And I refused to have him tell me I was doing a trial sermon.
Amen. So, amen. I want to ask our man of God, Prophet, because me and Minister Arthur Weathersby, we definitely flow. I mean, I don't want to get started. I don't want
to
get.
I'm just listening to that.
Man of God. Amen. Because I know we'll flow. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I know the brothers in here, they're like, yeah, yeah. So, amen. What I want to ask the apostolic prophet, amen. What are some of the troubles that you see with young prophets in this season? Now, I definitely want to ask you that.
Pride. Cocky. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned it, but see, the thing is, a lot of times it's pride. I mean, I didn't mean to cut you. I mean, excuse me. Go ahead and finish the question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Look, you quickening me right now. I think I'm more anxious to hear your response. Amen.
Faith, I came up with a question. I came up with a question, and I'm sure that this is going to help somebody. Prophet Marcus, you explain to people the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit, very key thing for every believer, because thing that needs to happen for every believer. Let me finish up the first question. I'm gonna come right back to that one. Okay. The thing is that I've seen with a lot of problems today is pride. So a lot of them don't want to submit to authority as far as going through the ranks. You know, if we could go through training and become a professional football player, become a professional in whatever field you operate in, why do you think, and see, to understand it, and I'm not saying you have to go to college to get a degree in theology. I'm not saying you have to do that. But what I am saying is, if you don't know about a thing, especially as office of a prophet, is very delicate, precious, and you can damage them as much lives as you can help. And because if you don't know, remember, your main asset as a prophet is your walk with God. Uh-huh. If you don't have a solid walk with God, how can you hear from God? And then your next thing is your mouth. You can tear things down, or you can build things up.
Uh-huh.
And if you're full of yourself and pride, thinking that you are the it, you're sadly missing God, because no flesh should glory in his presence.
Come on now.
And you got some people who think about themselves. They want the glamour. They want the fame because of the called prophet. Let me tell you something. The process of a prophet being processed to be the prophet is not an easy road. Asking Elijah and Elisha, and you got some other ones in the Bible who can confirm that. You go through some stuff that's like, man, you know what? Well, I didn't sign up for this. Yeah, you did, but they don't tell you that. But, it's something. With the things you have to go through, people hate on you for no reason. The people are fine. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that's like, are you serious? But at the same time, you understand because of who you are. You talk about being God's mouthpiece. Look at Moses. He told Aaron will be his prophet, and Moses will be like God, speaking as his mouthpiece. So when you talk about that, look what Moses and Aaron had to go through. Had to deal with stiff-necked Pharaoh. It's a lot of stuff that you have to go through. You need to be proven by God. Study shows us I'm approved unto God, not a man. See, another thing, too, he would try to prove something to man. Look, I got to prove to you I can hear from God. Why do I got to prove this thing to him? That's when you get in the flesh and you are all in error.
Amen.
You study to show yourself the proof unto God. See, God is the one who validates. God is the one who confirms and kick you out if he needs to. So, but amen. I mean, that's just kind of in a nutshell. I can run with that all night. Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, you can go. You can go in, amen. You kick back, relax, and let the Holy Spirit use you. Amen.
Amen. And I mean, just the go to baptism of the Holy Spirit. To be honest, anyone ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Well,
oh yeah.
You see, he wasn't Smith Wigglesworth until he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And of course, speaking in tongues. And see, the thing is, that is where a lot of the power comes from. Now, when I first got saved, I was a good believer. I was doing what I needed to do, and I was leading people to the Lord. But I did not know power until I received him in that way.
Fine.
When my cup was full and my cup started to run over, then the power kicked in. It was like all the horses was inside of me started to kick in. And so now I begin to understand, and operate in authority, I begin to understand better. Look, I have authority. Why God? Why do I sit here and take this from the enemy when I can shut him down or whatever, which way? So, you begin to understand and you allow your spiritual walk begins to get stronger. Your steps in the spirit begin to get heavier because you begin to spend time praying in the spirit. And some people don't realize praying in the spirit is very important as you go as a God. It's essential. If you want any spiritual growth, to be honest, you need to know how to pray in the spirit. If you want to be sensitive to the spirit, the voice of God, you have to. I mean, it's very essential. It's essential. Now, you may have some people who may try to argue that down, but my life is the evidence of that. I can't deny the evidence of what he's shown me already. Amen.
Amen. So 347, for those of y'all listening, hey, man, you listen to Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We about to go in. Amen. If you can't tell already, 347-945-5416. Amen. This is no script. This is no pre-rehearse. Amen. Minister Arthur Weathersby didn't tell me Faith asked this question, or I didn't tell Minister Arthur Weathersby, you know, ask Prophet this. We flowing by way of the Holy Spirit. When Prophet ain't got nothing, his armor bearers ain't around him saying, well, say this and that. No, no, this ain't mechanical radio here. This is spirit-led, spirit-bred. Amen, in the name of Jesus. So I wanted to ask you, amen, when the scriptures say baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, now, we were just talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is that fire?
That fire is the consuming fire of God that falls upon you that will cause you not to be the same way you used to be. If you used to smoke or talk, when that fire comes upon you, you will begin to say, you know what, I don't want to smoke or talk no more. I think I want to walk right. I think I want to fly right. When you see that woman walk by, you had a dress, you know, you won't break your neck looking backwards.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, that's not what a real woman represents. You know, you begin to understand, you know what, I'd rather, if my eyes is going to cause me to fall, I'll pluck it out. That's
agreed.
What that fire does. That fire brings the conviction of God upon you. It causes you to live right. It brings on a righteous indignation to cause you to have a passion for what you believe. Because if you don't have a passion for what you believe, how can you convince anybody of that?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe that what God will be preaching, how are you going to reach anyone else with that? You got to believe. If the word of God that you're preaching don't catch you on fire, what good is that word to anyone else?
Oh,
glory. See,
hallelujah.
I'm telling you, glory to God. But anyway, glory to God. But yes, the fire of God causes results to happen in your life. It takes you from being a believer to get you closer to walking in sonship.
Yeah.
Oh, glory. I'm okay, go ahead. I'm just,
come on, no. Don't you dare.
You know, Minister Faith Walker, I want to keep him right there. I want to keep him right there. A question just came through me as I was listening to him. So Prophet Marcus, I'm just going to make an assessment, and you just tell me whether I'm not right or wrong, and then you just flow from there, sir. So,
amen.
On the day of Pentecost, you know, when the Bible says they was in that one place on one accord and the Holy Ghost fell down on all of them, Peter, who 53 days prior denied the Lord, he denied that he got arrested.
Yes.
But on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell down on everybody, Peter preached the gospel.
Yes, he did.
3,000, they say, got added to the church that day. Would you say that was representative of exactly what you just got finished explaining?
Oh, absolutely. Because
okay,
Peter spoke with boldness. See, at that point, he didn't care who was looking at him. He didn't care if King Archbishop was on the other side of him. He didn't care if it was a deacon in the corner trying to wink at him. Close it on up, son. No, it didn't matter at that point, because when the Holy Ghost comes, because everyone was in one accord in one place, and they wanted God. See, we have also, too, when you want God, you do what you got to get, dude, to get God's presence in, you know, in and upon you. See, that's when it comes down, we have to ask ourselves, how bad do we want him? How bad do we want it? How bad do we want his presence?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what separates us from just being just a believer.
And one little thing to add more to that, Jesus, would you say that Jesus prophetically spoke to Peter when he told Peter, first he told Peter that Satan desired to sift you all as wheat.
Yes.
But then he told Peter specifically, but I prayed for you. And when you are fully converted, strengthen your brethren. Would that have been the result of that would have been Pentecost when he preached?
Yeah, I mean, I really believe so. You know, all of that, see, all those, see, that's why Jesus said, I'm telling you, in John chapter 14, he says, I'm telling you these things now so when it happens, you will know that it was true.
All right, sir.
See, that's why all those ingredients all those ingredients, going out two by two, breathing, you know, all these different ingredients, laying hands on sick, all these ingredients came up to the day appointed Pentecost. Now, he said, Acts chapter 1 and 8, it tells you that when the Holy Ghost, you know, when the Holy Ghost come, you will receive power. See, power to get results, power to get some things done. And see, it's enough. That's why right now it's enough for the talk. See, people, I've never read the whole Bible straight through. I can't quote more scriptures than anyone else. I probably can't. But this is what I do know. What I know, I know. And this is what I know is what I believe. And as I preach, and I allow the Lord to begin to do exactly what he desires to do. My thing is, Lord, I want to see, let me see your glory. That's why, and I was able to see this thing happen a few weeks ago. I was praying with a couple online on the phone, and a young lady was saying her back was a little messed up from the accident she was in. So I said, look, the Lord said, told me to tell you, stick your arms up and stick your arms out. And I never did it quite like this before, but let's believe God. So I started praying in spirit, and I said, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I said, I told her fiance, look at her arm. Is one arm longer than the other? He said, yeah, one arm is longer than the other. I said, now in the name of Jesus, I command that arm to stretch out. Line up with the other one now in the name of Jesus. Now these two were 3 hours away from me over the telephone. That arm grew out, lined up with the other one. The woman started praising God. Like I said, well, what's doing? I said, well, brother, what's happening? He can't say nothing. I said, brother, what's going on? Talk to me. And see, and when he finally was able to say something, he said, man, the arm grew out. It lined up with the other one. I said, would you just experience this Matthew 16:20? And Jesus working with them. And confirming his word by signs and wonders following. See, when we preach the word, the unadulterated word of God, and we believe that which we preach, the signs and wonders will follow the word of God. And day of Pentecost was the signs and wonders of everything that Jesus spoke and prophesied up to that point. That was the day, the evidence of the proof of the power of God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 347-945-5416. You're tuned into the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. And if you listen via internet, we apologize to all our regular listeners, amen, for the technical difficulty for the first 15 minutes, amen.
Mm-hmm.
To go tell regular listeners, amen, to call back in. The Mantle is definitely on all the social media sites, amen. All you leaders, all you apostles, prophets, elders, amen, all you regulars, amen. Amen. We are on, amen, at this time. Go ahead and pass it on. Tell your friend that Prophet Marcus Dupree is on the air, amen, on the Mantle, amen. So now, Marcus, Apostolic Prophet, amen. You don't mind if I call you Apostolic Prophet, amen?
That's fine. It's all good. Yeah.
Amen, amen. I mean, you know.
Amen. It's true. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. I mean, you know, it's who you are. Amen. Wear it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, that's not pride. That's who you are. Amen. Okay. We was talking about just now. You was talking about the fire of God that keeps a person from fornicating. Looking at that sister there.
Mm.
This sister not doing this and that. Okay. The fire of God. Would you say that's the nature of God coming into your life?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes,
that's
exactly. That's that consuming fire. See, that's that fire that Moses saw, you know, on the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there. Amen. It wasn't consuming the bush, but the fire was there.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, even though the people see us, but then the fire is there.
Mm-hmm.
But the fire is it has a purpose in our life to keep us clean inside and out. You know, and that's where it starts. It's, you know, we have to remember the Holy Ghost is a keeper. He keeps you. But then you have to want to be kept. And if you don't want to be kept, you won't be kept.
It's
a part of you. Amen. That's where a man's will can cause him to live or die. If a man chooses to live, he can outlive cancer. He can outlive whatever they come against him. But if he chooses to die, he's on. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's finished. He
mm-hmm.
just gave up the ghost. Jesus said, no man take my life, but I lay it down to pick it back up again. to the will of a man. You see, you know, so we understand that we have a responsibility. When we're talking about we are believers, we have a responsibility to act like and walk like we believe.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, you know, words, lip service is no good. It's no good. Because people are watching to find, to see who are really true to what they say. You say
Amen.
You believe, let me see you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the evidence, the proof? People want to see, they want to see the stuff. Let me see the substance that you speak about. Where's the substance of faith that you're talking about? And see, you know, it's another thing, too. We're living off last year's manna. We're living off yesterday's faith. We talk about now faith. It's a fresh word from God. A now faith is a substance of things hope for, the evidence of things I see. So we can't live off last year's manna and expect to be stronger today than we were last week.
Amen.
You know, we have to get that fresh manna from God. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. 347. Y'all folks, do not be scared to call in. Amen. Push 1. 347-945-5416. Amen. We got Prophet Marcus Dupree on the line from Eagle Wings Ministry out there in Ridgeville, South Carolina. All those Carolinas, amen. Definitely check the man of God out. Amen. Where he definitely operates in the apostolic prophetical mantle, amen, dual mantle, amen. So we bless God for him on tonight. He just educating us about the fire of God in the prophetic, amen. I'm going to ask you a question, and I've asked this question to a couple prophets. We've had a lot of national prophets on this broadcast, so I'm going to throw you one of the main questions that I've thrown at them, amen. Can a pastor raise up a prophet? Can a pastor birth out a prophet?
Well, I would say like this. He can in a not well, let me say like this.
Give it to me straight,
I mean,
prophet.
He can, you know, okay, this is looking let me say like this. The whole design for the fivefold ministry is to work together. Okay? Now, if I'm a pastor and I have a prophet, someone who I recognize as a prophet calling up, now I can raise him up in a sense of because I can work with him and I can allow God to use me. See, I would have to get the understanding from God how to raise him up to as far as I can go. I can't take him to the whole distance, but I can take him to a point to where he needs another prophet or an apostle to come along and take up the reins from there. Now, I can't get him up to a point to where, okay, because if he's budding, he can come up to a point. But once he gets to a certain point, now he needs to pass the reign over to someone else who's a prophet, who's a prophetic mentor, or someone who's an apostle who can take him to the next level, or take him beyond that point. See, because if you have someone who, you know, you have to first recognize the call and, you know, first getting through the first weed spot, now that's where the pastor can be there to help nurture him, help him to understand his identity, so give him a general direction. But when it really comes to processing a prophet, he needs to be brought out by a prophet or an apostle. He needs to go deeper. So he has, and then, too, this is where pride comes. I like to use it as an example. When Moses got the word from God that you would not enter the promised land, but you have to raise up Joshua. This man could have said, you know what? I ain't doing nothing. I ain't raising, I ain't telling him nothing. I'm not going to tell him how to do something that's supposed to do. But Moses didn't do that. Moses said, okay, he went ahead and began to show Joshua the ropes. He began to impart and show and give him wisdom. And Joshua rose up stronger. But it took a man to be able to realize and recognize, you know what? I can only take you so far. And I'm going to pass it on. And some, you know, pastors don't have the heart to realize, hey, you know what? I can take you as far as I can take you, but I need someone else to take you to the next level. It takes a real man to do that. And some people aren't willing to make that call.
You know, Minister Faith Walker, I was sitting here listening to you guys, and I greatly appreciate Prophet Marcus Dupree because he will explain some things for you. But I had this thing in my spirit, and you asked the question, could he birth a prophet?
Mm-hmm.
No. The birthing comes from God.
Oh, yeah, I understand. I understand a pastor cannot, you know, in that sense right there. When I was saying that is this training them up. the birthing through the
nurturing.
Yeah.
The nurturing, absolutely. Absolutely, the nurturing, absolutely.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about, but what I was saying in that, let me just clarify myself. Like, when I said that Prophet Marcus Dupree already knew what I was talking about, you know, when I use the word birthing in that term, because many prophets use that term, like, I birthed them out, you know, birthed them out. That's what, like, if you look at the scriptures, like this case where we was talking about Elijah and Elisha, the mantle came upon them. Now, the birthing out process came now. God was already dealing with Elisha. But the birthing out process came when he was serving Elijah.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Water. Bring my bread. Stuff like that. Killing flesh.
Right.
And bringing the prophetic alive in him. You know, so I mean, it's things like that when I was talking about the birthing process. You know, I understand that God births out people, period.
But you know, that's a good thing, though. I do believe still this is a good thing that this came out like it did, because we got folks on the other end. They don't know what you know. They're clueless.
Yeah, totally agree.
But see, look at this. Because like what you said about Elisha. See, Elisha. See, it didn't say the Bible didn't say that Elijah had to teach Elisha about God, because he knew enough about God. So that way you can see where the pastor could have come in and raised him up to a point, giving the foundational things. But when it came down to really birthing him out, that's where Elijah had to take the reins from that point. Because he wasn't equipped to do that, because think about it. And also, too, that's out of rank. See, the ranking goes apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So he can't birth someone he's out of rank. He's not ranked above.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand what I'm saying. If he's two levels under as far as his ranking and in the call of the fivefold, he's not equipped to birth out. He has to be either someone on that level or someone higher, which is the problem.
Amen. Like you said, it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets.
Exactly. Amen. Yes. Amen. Exactly. And see, let me give someone a little quick lesson. Hold your five fingers up, look at your hand, your palm. Okay, when you look at, this is the structure of the fivefold ministry. You have the pointer finger, that's the prophet, because he points the way. You have the longest finger, the middle finger, that's the evangelist, because they go out. You have the ring finger, you have the pastor, because he's married to the church. And you have the teacher, who's right work along with the pastor to teach the flock. And so then you have the apostle, which is the thumb, who can walk in all four offices at the same time.
Amen.
Amen.
Give you a visual of what you're talking to me and see the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this is blessing. I know it's blessing our listeners. It's blessing me, amen. I mean, some things I'm already accustomed to, but when we flow in the Spirit, the Spirit of God has a way of just imparting another dimension into it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to say is, okay, to clarify for our listeners, you see some apostles, right? And they say, yeah, I'm the pastor of this church. What they really mean? Clear that for our listeners. Like an apostle. Now, he's not a pastor, but he's just saying, I'm walking through this dimension as I lead my people.
Right.
I can explain that to the...
Amen. And that's almost like me. Right now, once I become the apostle, I'm the pastor. But I'm a pastor and a prophet, of course. But now what happens, too, it needs to be a transition, because now I have to release the prophet to someone else who's coming up. Because I don't need to have to be the apostle and the prophet of the house. That I could do it, but it's too much work. They have to be trying to be the prophet of the house as well as the pastor, or the apostle. But so all of that will take care of itself. That's why God allows us to delegate leadership into the right hands. Those who are qualified to walk in certain calls and everything, those who have come through the ranks of proving themselves, then you are allowed to walk in and allow them to begin to rise and come forward. Now, when it comes to, like I said, I'll be technically the apostle and the pastor, but this is for the point of time. is not supposed to stare at that. Temporarily, yes, he may allow me to be like that, but that's for a point in time, so someone, until he appoints someone else to take that role as a pastor. And now I can really flow and be have oversight, you know, in the sense of as an apostle and go forth and do greater work, whatever it is the Lord may want me to do in the next chapter or the next season of ministry. And so then, too, also, whatever the body needs or that local body needs is in that apostle. And, you know, so that's where he can help initiate gifts or even activate gifts and, you know, whatever the people need to impart, whatever needs to be done, the apostle's there to help bring it up. And the apostle's never supposed to come to a church and take over. He's supposed to be there to back up the vision of a pastor. Amen. And see, that's, you know, some people have gotten it twisted to thinking of the apostle saying, you're supposed to come take over from my church. No, that's out of order. Because that pastor is the one who's in leadership. He's in position. The Lord is giving him oversight over that flock. But the apostle is there. Everything's supposed to work in order, checks and balances. Just because you're the apostle, that don't mean you're supposed to come bogart from his pulpit. No. But you're still working along with the pastor, backing up the vision from the pastor that God's given to the pastor. Amen.
Okay. It's Minister Weathersby. You
yes,
have
sir.
A question? Go oh, right
I'm good
ahead.
Right now,
I'm with
bro.
You.
I'm good right
I'm with
now.
You, Doc.
Praise
I'm
God.
With
I'm
you,
good,
Doc.
Right. You with me?
I'm
and,
with you, Doc.
I'm trying to see. I tell you, I'm greatly blessed by this. I just let those questions as the Lord gave it to me. If you give me another one, son. We got time. I'm gonna spit it out.
Okay. I got a question. I'm gonna keep on flowing, amen. How come we got everywhere we go? I mean, you go on social media sites, right?
Mm.
You go on social media sites, you may see. Apostle X, Apostle Y. You type in the word apostle, you bound to see a whole pack of Skittles. You're liable to see a whole gang of them. Now, we got all these apostles. Ain't nobody getting along. This one wrong. That one wrong. I got it right. But very few of them are preaching the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was the chief apostle. He preached the kingdom. Paul preached the kingdom. Peter preached the kingdom. We had at EMG, me and the vice president, we had a situation tonight where there was one who was said they was an apostle. I'll leave them nameless. Yeah. And the fruit was just not there. How you know, and for the people listening, how do I know a real apostle? Well, and you just use what they do to spot counterfeit money. You study the real. You study the real, and you can spot a fake.
Right.
You can spot a fake if you study the real. So this individual didn't have the fruit. And when the Spirit of God began to move, you know, like what the apostolic prophet just talked about, the consuming fire. When the consuming fire moved, it tried to see what kind of work it really was, and it couldn't stand. It couldn't stand. So what I'm trying to say, apostolic prophet, why is it is that in this hour we have all this going on, and there's no signs and wonders that is captivating our whole region. We have 12 apostles that just took over. The Spirit of God just saturated the whole earth, you know, by these men, and now we got probably like 45, maybe 100,000 apostles running around. And we can't get one lame man out the hospital walking.
Jesus. Well, that's a very good question. First of all, I can say, once again, no flesh can glory in his presence. Second thing I can say is, when it comes down to it, apostles are supposed to be speaking in unity more than anyone else. Not only speaking, but living unity. Remember, the signs and wonders didn't happen until they were all on one accord in one place.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. See, we can't be divided and expect God to show up. He's not.
Mm-hmm.
A house divided against itself would not stand.
Mm-hmm.
And how can, and if we're also divided, how can God move? So, you know, being out of heaven, we have some people who believe in the kingdom, preach the kingdom, live in the kingdom. We see the kingdom. We see kingdom evidence with them. Well, who do he think he is? I'm an apostle, too. Well, see, it's not in word only, but it's also in power.
Come on now. Come on now.
See, you can't have a good talk, but you can't walk the walk.
Come on.
That ain't cut it. When you talk about being an apostle, there's an expectation of you. Because
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to be one, if anything, to hold the ship together. You shouldn't be the one who's dividing the ship.
That's right.
You got your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Just because this one here bought you a suit, you happy with him now.
Oh, my Lord.
It's not about that. The first thing about it, like Peter, when Simon tried to buy the power of the Holy Ghost from Peter, he said, you and your money cash. See, some of them are afraid to say you and your money because the money's to bounce out water when you see the money.
Mm-hmm.
You and your money perish.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot buy the Holy Ghost. You can't buy the results of God. And so when it comes down to you have to be willing to preach this gospel so much that you're willing to die for it. And if you're not willing to die for it, you sure ain't going to be willing to live for it.
You ain't ready to be no apostle, that's for sure.
You sure won't be. You're disqualified. And see, they don't be realized you can have the call. You not be chosen because you disqualified because of your heart.
Amen. He anoints you according to your heart.
Jesus. Your heart, because of your heart, you can be disqualified to walk
yes.
as an apostle.
Yes.
So Prophet Marcus, would you say two instances when Jesus was talking to his disciples about what they were going to, when he was calling them, And he identified to them what they were going to be doing. I think it was at one time when they were. There was a question. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was a question that happened where they were trying to figure out who's going to be greater and this, that, and the other.
Yes.
And and Jesus kind of like identified to them about what they need to do to really come after him. Oh, I know what it was. They talked about what they had given up. And all that they had gave up to follow him. And he spoke to them and made clear about, you know, what they had not really given up yet. And then I think the other example that I'd use would be that one young rich ruler that had all that he had and asked about what would it take to inherit the kingdom. And he said that Jesus said, well, follow the commandments. He said, I've done that from my youth, which I believe was a lie, but that's what he said. And Jesus told him, okay, well, you know, the law couldn't keep you from sinning. But that's what he said. He said he hadn't sinned since his youth. And then he said, well, Jesus told him, well, then sell all that you have and give to the poor. Then take up your cross and follow me. Now, a lot of people believe that he had a problem because he didn't want to give up what he had. But I don't think that was the real problem. I think the real problem was, you know, following Jesus and what you had to do to follow Jesus. And as you were saying about the living of your life and what the apostles and or anybody that's called in called by God, he's expect you to live a certain way. And I think that was his problem. And what would you think about that?
I could definitely agree with that, you know, because some people like, you know, they don't want to see with great power comes with great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to me and welcome to the office of the apostle. First of all, you are held to a greater accountability because you should know better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some stuff, it's elementary stuff, you should have known better by now. You know, some stuff, so you shouldn't be, you're lingering on, you're still trying to deal with the same issue, but you're smoking. You should have been past that now. It's
come on now.
It's rejection. And then when it comes down to being an apostle, you should be the greatest servant in the house, not the first one that always want to be served.
All right.
Now, let me say that again. You should be the greatest servant in the house, not being the first one that always want to be served.
Mm-hmm.
See, people realize when you talk about having these you are still, you take away all the titles and everything, you are still a servant by heart.
Mm-hmm.
You should still always have a servant's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when you serve, as you're serving the people of God, you should serve with passion. This is what caused Jesus to say he had compassion. Jesus had compassion on people. He laid his hands and prayed for them. He did whatever it took because he had a servant's heart.
That's Right.
Even though he was the chief apostle, he still had a servant's heart.
That's right.
And if you can't serve, you don't need to reign.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah,
right.
You can't, you can't want one part without doing the other. Amen. You know, so all of that makes a big difference. I mean, you're talking about, you know, as far as walking this thing out and really walking in authority and power, it definitely works along with that. It works along with that. Definitely so. Amen.
So let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
When you say serve, are you talking about serving God or serving the church building?
Oh, well, first of all, the Bible tells us everything we do is unto the Lord, first of all.
Oh.
It's going to start there first.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever he said do, just like Mary said, do it. So that could be from sweeping the church, sweeping the floor of the church, cleaning the toilet in the church. I mean, what's wrong with this toilet? Why can't someone, what's wrong with your hand?
Mm-hmm.
You see the problem? And really, to be honest, when you're talking about an apostle, and let me say this. I like to use this as an example. The anointing on your life is just not for church. It's just not to do what you do in the pulpit.
Exactly.
I recently changed my position in my home to where I'm home with the kids now. You know, my wife, she's working and everything. This same anointing that preached the gospel has caused me to wash clothes, wash dishes, change pamper, feed baby, all this stuff at the same time. Productive. And then look outside, okay, what we got to do outside? We got to cut the grass. He's anointed you. You're anointed.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, the anointing helps you to do whatever it needs to get done.
Mm-hmm.
The anointing is there for you to do. See, once again, that's a great level of servanthood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and so that allows me to have more power to get stuff done that needs to be done. Whatever it takes for this house to flow in order.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to live a life of order.
Yes.
And you should not go to the apostle's house and he should have discord going up and something is wrong with that. You, if anyone, a place is out of order, should earth be driving an apostle almost mad because things should be in order. Sooner or later, something got to kick in. So because if you want your house to flow in order, then you have to be able to do what needs to be done. So that's the natural house. Now, we're talking about the spiritual house. If the bathroom needs cleaning, and if no one's done it, go ahead and get it done. You know it needs to be done. Go ahead and make a goal. Jesus. Okay.
So let me ask you something, since we're talking about serving. Let me ask you something, since we're talking about serving. Now, what happened if you got a whole bunch? Now, you got a lot of folks in the church think that if I sweep, if I work in the kitchen, I get in the pulpit quicker. I get in the pulpit quicker because they see me doing this. I'm a servant. Now it's actually cool to be a servant, a midwife. It's actually kind of cool now to be a servant because I get noticed more quicker. Oh, you shouldn't have. You know what? I'm going to make you my armor bearer. Oh, you know what? I'm making my deacon. You know what? Because you're a servant. You know? Now it's more popular to be servant because you're being noticed. You know, it's not about killing flesh no more. It's about somebody seeing me and exalting me. So, so how do we do that? How do we navigate through that?
Okay. The bottom line is to this: the same thing God told Samuel the prophet. Man, look at the outer appearance. I look at the heart.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
After all of that, you know, look at Mary. I was a Mary Martha. One was in the kitchen busy doing this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one was at the feet of Jesus,
feet
where
of
she
Jesus.
Needed to be. But, yeah, why is the other one getting mad in the kitchen? Well, Jesus, tell her to come in the kitchen and help me. She said, why are you bothering? She's doing the right thing. You need to get over here, too.
But she's serving.
Yeah, all she's serving. But, yeah, it's all good in its place, but then there's a time to serve and there's a time to listen and there's a time to be at the Father's feet. And it's a tongue. If you operate anything out of tongue, it's going to be chaos. Uh-oh. Amen.
So you got to recognize what season you are in to serve.
That's right.
Amen. And then the heart to serve. The motivation that you're doing it for. See, if you're doing it to be recognized, people are going to ignore you even more.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Amen.
You're trying to get recognition. Now, some people who buy into that, now, let me say this too. Some people who buy into that, they're going to have to answer to God for that, especially if God didn't say do that.
That's
the
right.
Buddy system
exactly.
Word don't work with God. Amen.
Prophet Marcus,
I ain't
going
to do
anything?
It, God tell me to do it. I ain't trying to say,
I know that.
Serve back to be seen? Nobody. I do it with God tell me. Amen.
Would you say, Prophet Marcus, that would be folks that do church work versus those that work for the church?
Oh, my God. Why are you going there?
Okay, you know what? Let me say this, because that goes along good with this here. See, you're right. They work for the church, but they're not doing. Okay, let me say it like this. Perfect example. When people say, "Give God your time first,"
mm-hmm.
A lot of people equate this with going to church. That was wrong. They believe, when you talk about give God your time. You know, like Peter said, give God his time first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's your personal time with God. Your relationship with God is first.
That's right.
This
first.
Is the order. And then your spouse, my wife,
mm-hmm.
then my family. Then from that point, now we have the church.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because the family was technically before the church. But it was
right.
Not before my relationship with God. My relationship with God
mm-hmm.
is first. And so when you begin to put things in perspective the way it needs to be, your house, being you being a prophet or a pastor, whoever in the gospel, even saved, your house won't be divided and you losing your family because you're trying
mm-hmm.
to serve the church.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm at. I'm riding with you on that one. I'm riding
with
God.
You're trying to run, try to serve the church, trying to serve the pastor, but you're missing out on Jesus. What did Jesus say? You know, are we really serving Him? Because if you're serving Him, you spend the time with Him, and you begin to understand. He'll tell you, okay, hold on now. You chasing after the pastor, but you love your wife. You know, do you think you take care of business at home? You need the time. And the Lord showed me this. What good is it for me to have you go all around the preaching world where I preach the gospel and you lose your home?
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure you spend time. That's why I learned some stuff. Okay, time to shut it down. You know, just say, okay, all right, okay, I ain't doing nothing today. Spend that time with the family. I'm not going to sacrifice my family for the church, per se.
Right.
You know, just do church stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All because this is good in good in the eyes of people to do. So it could be a good thing and not be a God thing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that
running up there five
times
a week?
Yeah. Would you say that would be representative of what James was talking about? The folks that thought they were working for themselves, working towards their salvation, not allowing faith
right.
to generate
religious.
Works.
Mm.
Yes. From being religious, like being very religious, by your works, you're like that. Yeah, exactly. But see, it takes a real man to live by his faith. And I'm not saying we've been, I'm throwing out of church because of how we believe, in that manner. The church, they wanted us to, matter of fact, they wanted us to go to church. I said, well, the Lord tells us we need to go. We're not trying to be a problem, but we knew God was telling us that we can't go. And I was the next man in line. So he was like, well, why don't you go ahead and, I was like, well, if I'm the next man in line, instead of closing the church today, I'll go ahead and have church. That way we keep service open for everyone who can't go. Well, he didn't like my response, so he closed the church. I said, that's the Lord. Praise God. That's your church. Okay? But see, that's the difference between your church and God's church. Because, see, God would keep his door open, especially if he had a qualified person to keep things going. But because you mad at my response, you go and act like a after you act and shut the whole thing down. No, who was led by the Spirit in this matter?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't him. Because, now you have flocks just out there. Everybody ain't going to trip. So now you have people out there who don't go to church today. They miss out on fellowshipping with God. Father as a family, fellowshipping together on one accord. See, and we have to take the flesh out of this whole thing. We have too much flesh on parade.
Mm-hmm.
Too much flesh on parade.
That's right.
To see. Amen.
Performance.
Here today.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
let me leave
you alone, Lord.
That's right.
This is good.
Go ahead.
This is good. Prophet, go ahead and give your information out, amen. We just having a good time with you, amen. Fellowshipping with you, amen. Iron sharpening iron. Go ahead and give out your information, man of God, so everybody can know where you at.
Okay, amen. We are Eagles Wings International Ministry. We are a church without walls. We are based out located in Ridgeland, South Carolina. And we have services on the conference calls on Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and on Tuesday nights at 7:15 Eastern Standard Time. And that phone line for those services on Sunday and Tuesday nights are 1-218-862-6789, and the code is 448-073, and on Thursday night, we have an outreach line to where we just have some, you know, have a service going on, have invited someone to speak, the Lord may lead, and that number is 1-712-432-3100, 1-712-432-3100, and the code is 124-089. And that's our word encounter night. Amen. We have a word encounter night that night. We'll be, you know, you just keep up with it. You can look up Prophet Marcus Dupree. Next Monday it'll be apostle, but right now it's still Prophet Marcus Dupree on Facebook. You can look me up and keep it, you know, keep tab when we have, we post our services and every time we have them. So keep updated. Like I said, we had last weekend, we just had a 6-hour prayer from midnight to 6 a.m. in the morning. So we'll be doing different things like that. We like to be different. And we have church for real on the phone. We have people, members from California, Louisiana, yeah, from North Carolina. So we have live members who actually tie the pieces or sow seed and actually get covered as a church. You know, even though, and the advantage God shows me to this is of course, is apostolic. And second of all, because it takes away the middle ground. It takes away people, and it's not against anything or any church or whatever. But it, for us, it works good for us because it takes away the middle ground. Once you come, get the word, go out into the world and do the work. Instead of us coming in together, sitting down in the church and get lazy and just keep it sitting inside the four walls, now once you get to come to get the word, put the word into the world, go forth and be busy about the Father's business. So that works good with us as far as how he's called us to do. It's a different ministry, and I realize not everyone, it's not for everyone like that, but at the same time, those who are called and chosen to be, it is so. Amen. And so once again, we are Eagles Wings International Ministries, Church Without Walls. Amen.
Amen. We definitely bless you. Minister Arthur Weathersby, I definitely want to honor you, amen, man of God, for joining, co-hosting with me on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. You are the first to do that, amen. To God be the glory.
Oh, my. And it wasn't by my direct intent. That was obviously that was divine purpose.
Hey, that was divine purpose.
I thought I was calling in just to listen. I was sitting there to listen. Next thing I know, I heard it says you're live, but nothing was happening.
Well, we thank God tonight, amen, for just you being with, amen, brothers in arms, amen. And you know,
yeah,
this is powerful because it's so rare that you see men of God standing in unity, fellowshipping with one another, and
amen,
a whole bunch of flesh all over the place. Just some good old-fashioned sharpening, amen.
Amen.
Well, I believe in support, sir. You know me.
Amen.
Amen.
I give it to Mr. Arthur. He's very supportive, really. Very supportive. He's been plugging in. He's come over my line a few times. We used to do a midnight prayer on Friday nights. And we had a situation come about, and you know, we had to labor for like an hour or so to really kind of with a person. They were really to the point just flat giving up. They just didn't, they weren't trying to hear anything. But, you know, God used us to work together and work together as a team. You see, that's the whole point of the thing. The body of Christ, we need to work together, y'all. God puts us here to work together, not apart. Your body is more effective working together than apart. Amen. But amen.
Oneness.
God's word is so strong. Amen. Oneness. Got to have it. Praise God.
Oneness.
Amen.
One. Ah, Jesus, one. Hallelujah. We bless God on tonight for Prophet Marcus Dupree. Amen, amen. If y'all in the Ridgeville area, y'all definitely check out this man of God. Amen. And who God is using mightily in this day, in this hour, in this season. So we bless God for him on the mantle of God. Amen. Amen. We had to ask the questions tonight. Amen. That's just how we roll. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for realness. You didn't duck and dodge, amen. You came and you explained your mantle, and this is what this broadcast is all about. You even helped some folks about prophets and prophetic and explaining exactly your assignment, transitioning from the prophetic to the apostolic, amen. So, you know, you explained your mantle tonight. So now you have people who, you know, who listen and don't know. They may have seen you online or at your church. Now they know. So, you
amen.
Know, you have use of your tonight. Now you go and check out the man of God. And now that hardened heart has been softened up. Now the word of God can come in and you can be fruitful and multiply in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God.
Prophet,
amen.
I'm going to let you go ahead and pray us out. Amen. And we thank
amen.
God for you.
Thank you all for just even first even having me on. I call it an honor and privilege. And I thank God for even, you know, for all the listeners, everyone who took time out to listen tonight. We love you all. And I look forward to when we come back again to fellowship. Amen. And once again, it's all for the glory of God. You know, one thing I like to say is not about us, but it's all for the kingdom. It's
amen.
All for the kingdom. All, amen, to build the kingdom.
Amen.
Father, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity and for this time that we had to come together tonight. Thank you for a glorious time, Lord God, for your gospel being shared and even explain, Lord God, even bring clarity. And thank you, Lord, even for the good questions that you've given to these men of God to bring about, to stir up, Lord God, your spirit to righteousness, Lord God. For even bringing up even those things that's on the heart of people, Lord God, who want to ask the questions but never did ask. But, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for bringing those matters to the light tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, you had the answer provided for every question. So we thank you, Lord God, for you are the one that gets all the glory tonight. And I thank you, Lord God, for choosing me to be in your vessel, to be used of you tonight, Lord God. And I thank you. And I come the privilege and honor just to walk in your presence tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for touching every listener. Now we bind the spirit of retaliation that it will not come against your people tonight. In the name of Jesus, for even listening to this broadcast, in the name of Jesus, for even everyone who participated, we bind up that retaliation right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for their safety and divine safety. We release upon them now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, wherever they are, we thank you for angels and kept around about them, for the blood of Jesus to rest upon them as well. Cover them in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for even supernatural, for causing them to walk and to listen to your voice like never before. Thank you for a more intimate walk that each and every one of us will have with you, Lord, that we should know you, Lord God, that we should know you in such a way, Lord, that we should know your voice and know your leading. In the name of Jesus, so Lord, we thank you right now for the authority and power that you've given to us, that we will not sit there and allow the enemy to push us around. He's a defeated foe, and we render him powerless now. In the mighty name of Jesus, so Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. And we thank you, Lord God, for blessing this station. Lord God, continue to do great and mighty things with them and through them, Lord God. Expand their borders, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, cause a greater thing to happen, Lord. Even the finances they need to run successfully. Thank you, Lord God, for sending souls, the people that believe in this work. Send them forward, Lord God, to sow seeds into this matter. In the name of Jesus, even for sponsors, Lord God. Thank you for opening up doors for sponsorship. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, begin to take them overseas, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, do a mighty work with them, Lord God, in them. In the name of Jesus, let them continue to maintain and hold the standard of the word of God, and let them begin to continue to do what you led them to do. Let them not change for people's sake or for publicity, but Lord, let them stand and do what is right according to you and your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you right now. We give you praise, we give you honor and glory for your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. It is finished. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We bless you, man of God. As long as God has breath in our body, EMG will never change. God approved, God made, God scripture, all spirit led all the time. We thank you for that prayer. We thank you, and we stand by it. Amen. We receive it in Jesus' name. I think we have a caller before we leave.
Okay.
We got a caller. Caller.
I was just listening the whole time. This is the one from Florida. I'm Prophet Dupree, knew who I am.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. I was just listening to you guys. I just muted and listened. Well, very interesting, very very informative. Thank you very much.
Amen.
I learned a lot.
Amen. I'm glad you did. Praise God. It's always my pleasure to serve. Amen. God bless you. You have been faithful, so continue to do. Amen. And how are you feeling right now?
Oh, I'm much better. Thank you. Much better. I will not be defeated. Mm-mm.
All right. Amen. Well, let me do this before we go. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your healing anointing resting upon her now and driving out everything, every bit of the fever, everything else that is trying to attack her body throughout this day. We call her healed in the name of Jesus. Solidify what's already been done, and we seal with the blood of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name we pray. We touch and agree. Amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for calling, and God bless you.
God bless you all.
Amen.
God bless
you, woman of God.
Amen.
Well, Prophet, amen. It seems like we can't get rid of you, amen. But unless you got, nevertheless, man, you got to come back, Prophet, amen. We'll work it out, amen. Get you back on here, amen. That's your schedule,
amen.
Man.
Amen. Just let me know, and we can go from there. We, you know, hey, I said, my people's good, but your people's, we all have a great time. You come up with something. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So why don't you invite him on Thursday?
Listen.
He's invited him on Thursday.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't you guys come on Thursday just to listen to the prophet?
Yeah, we have Dr. Ventura on, our theologian Dr. Ventura. He comes on Thursday. He'll have another theologian on teaching about doctrine and all those things. Amen. So if you want to tune in, you're welcome to do that. But we on here, Mitchell of God, on Mondays at 9 o'clock, Fivefold Ministry. Amen. You know, so.
Amen. Thank you all. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Amen.
Stay blessed, everyone.
All right.
God bless you too.
God bless you.
Somebody help me say